There are heroes whose names we never hear. A dedicated army of quiet volunteers, reaching out to feed the hungry, reaching out to save the land, reaching out to help their fellow.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Mark White Show. I'm so glad that you could join me this morning. I'm on Facebook Live right now, and I know people will be joining in here shortly. This morning, I'm going to focus on MPS awareness. And I found out about MPS through a young friend of mine. She was wearing a purple shirt on May the 15th, and it caused me to ask some questions. And those questions led to this show, and I've got several guests that will be joining me. Right now, you know, I want to recognize some folks who are tuning into the Mark White Show. I've got Brenda Smith in Tryon, Georgia. Lisa Candies in Altoona, Alabama. Got Deborah Cottingham in Cato, Alabama. Sandlin Fultz in Pinson, Alabama. Millie Harris in Manama, Bahrain. Anastasia Carswell in Troy, Alabama. Kay Preston, Shannon, Alabama. Mary Ponder, Hartsell, Alabama. Melinda Baggett in Florence. Rebecca Godwin in Birmingham, Centerpoint area. Chrissy Wade, Woodstock, Alabama. And Sandy Allen, welcome to the show, everybody who is joining us. We have people all over the state of Alabama, as well as around the country, and even in some foreign countries. So I appreciate you joining the show this morning. Wanted to do that. It's always fun to ask people what city and state they're listening from, and to know that the Mark White Show is reaching across our state and across our great country. Right now, I have with me president of the National MPS Society, Terry Klein. Welcome to the show this morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. Now, your role at the National MPS Society is president and CEO. Tell us about your responsibilities there at the National MPS Society to get started.
Well, the National MPS Society is one office that serves the entire country, and so I have a team here that works with families that are newly diagnosed. And so my role is to connect the dots. We're connecting families with our social workers at the time of diagnosis, and at the same time, we're also connecting the dots with research. And so we are concentrated just not in our country on research, but on a global level. The National MPS Society is a 45-year-old organization, and we have built a lot of credible relationships over the years. And because of the evolution of science and research in the rare disease space that we're in, we've been able to have a global outreach with researchers around the world. But along the way, it's very important that we are connected with the families directly, and so we provide a high level of support for families.
And as I told you before the show started, we've got a couple of families that are going to come on the program and talk about how MPS has affected them. Of course, there's different variations of MPS. If you would talk about that, because we do have a lot of listeners out there who may not know what MPS is.
Yeah, MPS is a short acronym for mucopolysaccharidosis, which is a long word. And it basically is a genetic lysosomal storage disease. And that storage disease is caused by the body's inability to produce a specific enzyme. And so when the children are missing this specific enzyme that's responsible for removing the waste from a cell, it begins to accumulate storage in materials of the cell throughout the entire body. Sadly, these diseases, and we support 11 of the MPS diseases, there's 11 types. Sadly, these are progressive diseases, and it does create this widespread damage throughout the body. And it doesn't leave any organs alone. It includes the heart, the bones, the joints, neurocognitive issues, and it oftentimes leads to a shortened lifespan. And so it's sad. A lot of people don't realize that a progressive disease can be in a child. And many times, the diagnosis doesn't happen until there are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They've reached milestones, and no one thinks there's anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And this is a progressive disease, and then the signs begin to appear. And so a child could begin milestones, talking, walking, ABCs, and then all of a sudden they begin to stumble, and they're not learning as easily. and they're having a hard time moving and walking, and it can take a long, long time for a diagnosis to be achieved.
I was talking to Amy Holland last night, and she's one of the guests who will be coming on shortly, but she was talking about, you know, the fact that a lot of parents aren't aware. They're wondering what is going on here. And hopefully this show, in addition to other things that National MPS Society is doing, will bring awareness to families, and maybe somebody out there that's been wondering what's going on with their child may find that this is the issue. Now, we know that it's considered a rare disease. Am I right in saying that 1 in 100,000 children is the number, or is that changed?
Well, that is a number that's safe to use. It is. With some of the other syndromes, it could be a little more rare than that, or it could be a little less. But saying that it's 1 in 100,000 is satisfactory to say that.
And it's not very 1 in 100,000 sounds like a lot, but it's not very hard to find a family that's been affected by MPS, and not only the family directly, but friends and loved ones indirectly, because we know that we're not in a box. We live in a world where we're very well connected, and that's how I found out about MPS in the first place. If it wasn't for social media and somebody wearing purple on May the 15th for MPS Awareness Day, I wouldn't know about what's going on. And, of course, there are families out there who've yet to be affected by this but potentially will, and we want them to have an awareness of what this is. What would you tell, Terry, a family, you know, that first gets diagnosed, as far as what the MPS Society, National Society, can do for them?
Well, we are in a position now at the Society, Mark, to meet with our families and be present with them at the time of a new diagnosis. We didn't always have those resources, but we've worked really hard here to build up our Pathways program, we call it, and it is an extension of providing that one-on-one information at the time a family is newly diagnosed, because what they're realizing, besides now starting to understand that it's a genetic lysosomal storage disease, oftentimes, Mark, it could be more than one child in the family that's affected.
Yes.
That's devastating. It's devastating in itself alone, but the idea that it could transcend across another child is just really something for the family to take into consideration, and it's a lot. And so they meet with many doctors. We provide information to them to help them guide their next steps. What will their next steps look like? How can they begin to manage specialty care for their child? Because it's not just with one physician, but it's with multiple physicians. It's a multiple care team that's taking care of that child. And they're not always ready to receive that information. They're not always prepared, because they're just starting to absorb the diagnosis. But then they realize that they have to become an advocate, and they need to really champion behind their child, not just with the physicians, but possibly within the community that the child's in. It could be at school, it could be at church, it could be with the family, with their friends, and trying to learn how to have the voice for the child and disease so that they're emotionally staying strong and keeping their unit together is some of the most important things that we begin to share with them, because it can be challenging, as we know. It's devastating, and it's also drawing on their resources. And they have to find a balance within their family. They may have other children that are not affected. And so there's a lot of different, scenarios. And so our families that are able to meet with our Pathways program people, they really take a look at that unit and try to help them be strong and provide them with the tools to keep them strong and keep them in the right direction. When we get that call, Mark, we do have treatments on the table for some of our diseases. About half of the kids that are diagnosed at the Society have a treatment. They're not a cure. We're not at a cure yet.
Right.
Treatment, which means it's slowing down the progress of the disease. It's bringing a halt. It's providing quality of life. For the other half of the children, we don't have a treatment yet. We're still in the research phase. So it can be quite devastating to know that your child has a life-limiting disease and is facing a terminal illness. So we're preparing, you know, different materials for different stages that these families are in at the time of diagnosis.
Sure, and as you stated before, sometimes they don't get the diagnosis until later on, several stages later. But I have heard also of families who for whatever reason, within their community, the medical field is not quite sure what's going on. And what do you tell a family maybe that's been searching, and maybe it might be MPS, but what would you tell a family to look for?
Well, we do have those phone calls. They don't always happen often, Mark, but we will get the calls where a family might suspect that this is what they have, and we direct them to centers of excellence. So if they're not having the, if they don't have the community, or possibly they're feeling there might be an obstacle or a stumble, and they're in this diagnostic odyssey and they're not getting the answers that they need, we will certainly refer them on to different centers of excellence that are throughout the country, so they can have tests done and have blood tests done. And they'll start with some very specific genetic testing to help them determine whether or not they have a lysosomal storage disease.
What is the footprint of National MPS Society in Alabama and, say, even Mississippi?
One more time again, Mark. Sorry about that.
No, what is the footprint of National MPS in Alabama, say, Mississippi, and even Tennessee right now?
In terms of how many patients do we have in that footprint?
Yes, and your organization's, let's say, the amount of support that within this area.
We support every state, so you know. And if I had to just off the top of my head tell you the amount of children that are in the three states, it's probably less than 100. Less than 100 kids would be in that footprint that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have families in all of those states, and we do work with families in those states. In terms of having regional offices, we have one office that supports the country.
Okay.
And so what we try to do at the Society is gather our families on annual opportunities at our conferences, and we move our conference around the country on purpose because we know it's difficult for families with fragile children to get to us.
Absolutely.
So we move it all around the country, and so every probably third or fourth year we would be in that region. For instance, we're looking at our next conference to be in 2000. We work our way out, but our next conference in the Tennessee area will likely be in 2020 because we're looking in the Nashville area.
Okay. Well, that's not far from many, many of my listeners. And one of the things I would like for you to include is, one, for parents to get information to be able to reach out to the National MPS Society. And the second thing is for those who may not be affected by MPS directly but want to learn more and maybe be a part of National MPS Society and what you guys are doing there.
I can share with you that two things that the Society does is we support research and we support families. We've been a four-star charity navigator rating nonprofit for many years, and we're proud of that because we stretch a dollar like no other organization does. We spend a lot of time building out programs based on the needs of our families, and so our family support programs provide things for medical durable goods, to help families get to doctor's appointments that they can't afford to even drive to help them with continuing education scholarship programs within the family for siblings that might need to go to college and the families don't have all the resources. We have scholarship programs for those that are affected so that they can go to school. We have a plethora of programs, and the way to help the Society is to acknowledge with us that the family's journey is not just emotionally struggling, but it's financially struggling as well.
Yes.
Along the way, we are supporting them while we're trying to move the ball with research. And so over half of our dollars go to research, and it's research that's not going down a black hole. We have certainly been at the very beginning of research projects at the bench level that have turned into something very, very important. And so the MPS Society, and the way to support is to go to www.mpssociety.org, and you can click and make a donation, and you can even select how you'd like the money donated, whether it's for family support or for research.
Okay. And also the Facebook page is available, too, for people. I know there was a post yesterday about a gentleman who had spent a good deal of his life, a doctor who had spent a good deal of his life with research, and he won a scientific award just here recently. If you would talk about that for just a minute.
I certainly can. I'm thrilled. We just announced it that Dr. Mark Haskins, who's out of Philadelphia, has been part of the research space within MPS and other lysosomal storage disease for years, for over 40 years. is receiving the Life for MPS Scientific Award. It's going to be given to him next month in San Diego, California. He is known around the world. The lysosomal disease researchers that make this choice to come into the rare disease space, you know, it's not for money. You know, it's not. It is for the passion and for the calling that they've received in the rare diseases, and MPS has touched them in a special way. Mark Haskins is one of those very special researchers, and he is known around the world. And I'm happy to share with you that we have some phenomenal rare disease, lysosomal disease researchers right here in the United States.
That's exciting, and I'm glad for and thankful for Mark. And also, Terry, I'm thankful for what you're doing with the National MPS Society, and I appreciate the fact that you were willing to come on the program. And as I said, we're trying to bring awareness to MPS on this particular show. And we're going to talk to a couple of families, some that you're familiar with. Of course, Amy Holland will be up in just a little bit, and we'll talk about her twins and her son as well. But I appreciate National MPS Society and what you're doing there, Terry.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to share MPS with everyone around the area that you broadcast. It means everything to us. It really does, Mark. So thank you.
I'm glad to do it. Thank you, Terry, and you have a great day and a great weekend.
All right, you as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And that was Terry Klein. She's the president of the National MPS Society. When we come back, we're going to have the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment. I'm going to have a special young lady come on the program. She's going to talk about a family that she's looking for here in Alabama. Her daughter, Aubrey, passed away at 3 weeks old and donated an organ, and that organ did come to Alabama, and she's trying to find the family and get to know the child, meet the child that is actually carrying her daughter's organ. So I hope you'll stick with me. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White. Paying too much for your water bill is the pits, but you know what they say, when life gives you the pits, dig a well. The solution is to call my friends at Commercial Drilling today. At CDI, customer service and a handshake still mean something. Give them a call at 256-679-8181.
You know the drill.
Are you tired of all the games, gimmicks, pressure, and huge commission fees from real estate agencies? Twins Realty is too. For great value and excellent service from a local family-owned business, call Kenita Hall with Twins Realty at 256-337-1606. Whether buying or selling, Kenita will personally tailor a solution perfectly suited to your real estate needs. That's 256-337-1606.
Call Kenita.
Roger D's Plumbing has been a reputable and trusted business since 2009. They specialize in residential and commercial construction. They service Athens, Huntsville, Decatur, Florence, and the surrounding areas. They value their customers and work diligently to make sure your job is carried out in a professional, pleasing, and timely manner. Roger D's Plumbing has been a proud member of the Better Business Bureau of North Alabama since 2010. Give Roger a call at 256-771-3139.
They're plumb good.
Spring is here, and Green's Dependable Hardware in Russellville has teamed up with Husqvarna Power Products to make quick work of your landscaping challenges. How about 20% off of a Husqvarna commercial fleet deal or special early season buys on tractors and trimmers, plus 0% financing for up to 48 months. And at Greens, we service what we sell. Greens Dependable Hardware in Husqvarna gives you the power to work and the power to save. Greens Dependable Hardware, Russellville, Alabama, 256-331-0123.
Your dependable service center.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections. Thompson Roofing and Construction. Join us for the first annual Rocking Ferret Huntsville Benefit Dinner at Huntsville Botanical Gardens on Thursday, September 27th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The event proceeds will benefit Girl Power to Cure and their battle against Rett Syndrome. Tables and seats are now available, and sponsorship opportunities are also available. Our dinner will honor the following girls and their families battling Rett Syndrome in the region: Blakely Goodman, Charlie and Olivia Foster, Tiana Vega, Jesse Watts, and Violet Munson. There will be a silent auction, live auction, and keynote speaker will be Susan Norwell. For more information, give Kevin Pierce a call at 256-468-1787 or email him at kevin at gp2c.org.
Girl power to cure.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown. Because those dear hearts and gentle people will never, ever let you down.
And we're back. You are listening to The Mark White Show. I'm your host, Mark White, and right now we're in the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deeds segment. And I have with me Sarah Peebs, and she's from Harwich, Massachusetts. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
Thank you.
Now, Sarah, I saw a post, and it's a very touching post about your daughter who passed away at 3 weeks old back in May of 2016. If you would share the story about your daughter and what happened, what transpired after her death as well, please.
Okay. So, yeah, so it was Memorial Day of 2016, and we woke up to find my daughter, Blue. And so, to make a long story short, she had passed away. And within hours of us getting that news, I was called by an organization asking if I'd be interested in having her, whatever organs they could salvage, be used for donation.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I discussed it for, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds or a minute, and called them back, and I told them that I would do it. A big part of that decision was my dad. He had a heart transplant back in 2014. And so at that point, or while he was waiting for a heart and up until he got the heart, I learned a lot more about organ donation and how important it is. So that played a huge role in why I decided to donate my daughter's organs, which ended up just being heart valves. But that's what they were able to take from her.
That is amazing to think about. You thought about your own father who received an organ donation, and it led you to make that decision to donate your daughter's organs. And to think about that connection between one person donating and another person deciding to donate because of somebody else who donated, that really is a testament to what one person making that decision to donate their organs does for so many people. And, of course, your daughter's organ, as you found out, came to Alabama. If you would, tell us about how you came to that knowledge.
Yeah, so I guess it was just over a week ago now. I had been thinking I should call the organ of the New England Organ Bank because I hadn't heard anything, and it had been, you know, it's been 2 years now, and I've just been thinking about it. So I finally picked up the phone and called them, and they actually said, well, yesterday we actually just mailed you a letter to say that the pulmonary valve was requested by a hospital in Alabama. So, and I went on to find out that that meant it had been transplanted into either a baby or a young, very young child somewhere in Alabama. They weren't able to give me any additional information, and I guess I was just so shocked to hear that I didn't push too much, but
yes.
Went to Facebook and just tried to put it out there. If anybody knew anybody in Alabama, that maybe possibly somebody would get the message that I was looking to hopefully meet them or talk to them if they're open to that, and I've been really shocked that it's reached about 10,000 shares at this point, and it's just been incredible.
And one very important part of that Facebook post is the timing. I know you came up with the fall of 20, was it the fall
right.
of 2016?
I'm sorry, it was the transplant took place in the fall of 2017.
Okay, fall of 2017 is when the transplant took place. How did you find out that information?
I bet the organ bank actually gave me that information as well.
And
I talked to them.
Yes, and when the organ was donated, there's some paperwork sometimes that people are able to get, and for some reason the information didn't make it, or I know in the post you talked about that.
Yeah, so when this all happened, I was kind of still in shock. I don't remember what I signed.
Yeah.
I remember asking that if the recipient was willing, that I would absolutely love to meet them at some point. Whether I signed something or not, I'm not sure. But when I asked about about that from the organ bank, they told me that I guess valves or tissue is documented a little bit differently than an entire organ. So a valve versus a heart is documented differently for some reason. I'm not really sure why.
Okay.
But they all they could tell me was that they sent in an information card to the hospital in Alabama that basically asks for additional information about the recipient. And the organ bank never received that card back. That could be for a lot of reasons. It could have gotten lost. It could have gotten, you know, never left somebody's desk or, I mean, a whole bunch of things. So I actually spoke to someone at an organ bank in Alabama, and they told me that the tissue likely went from the organ bank to a processor, which prepares the valve for transplant, and she suggested that the recipient contact their doctor to get the processor's information and go through them to try to figure out the match. So it's very complicated.
Sure.
Yeah. But ultimately, it sounds like at this point that if somebody hears my story and is curious if maybe they are my match, if they contact their doctor to look for a way to get me a letter as well. And I'm looking for a way to get a letter to someone somehow. But at this point, I don't have the information I need to mail a letter anywhere.
Yes. Well, the first thing I want to do now is thank you and Brandon for making that decision to donate the organ of Aubrey and the fact that it reached somebody in Alabama. And, of course, I want you to have closure to find the child or young person that received that organ. And so how would somebody get in touch with you, Sarah, to get you the information that you need? I know that the post has been shared, as you said, around 10,000 times. That's a lot of folks, and I'm having a feeling that you're going to be getting some information pretty soon.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of messages with suggestions. I did get one message from a woman who said her son had a pulmonary valve transplant in the fall of 2017. And so she's actually reaching out, kind of going through the process that I just explained a little bit.
Great.
Trying to find out if she sends a letter somewhere, if it'll get to me, and that we'd know if we are indeed the match. But if not, I guess I'm just looking for somebody to either send me a message on Facebook saying they could be a potential match, or just reaching out to their doctor in the processor. And send a letter that I can hopefully receive from them.
Excellent. And I'm going to spell your name for people. It's Sarah Peebs, but it's spelled S-A-R-A-H, last name P-I-E-B-E-S. So you can look up Sarah on Facebook if you want to send her a message, if you have any information, or you know of someone who might have some information. I know a lot of people have offered suggestions. At this point, if somebody knows of somebody who received a transplant like that in the fall of 2017, reach out to Sarah and let her know. It may be the right person. And I know that'll give you some closure. But, of course, Aubrey's legacy, whether you ever find out or not, Aubrey's legacy lives on through an organ donation. And just as you decided to make that organ donation because of your father's circumstances, somebody else will do the same. And so I'm grateful and thankful for your decision. And I hope that you do find the child who received Aubrey's organ.
Yeah, thank you. Very much.
Sarah, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You have a great weekend.
You too.
And that was Sarah Peebs, and her daughter at 3 weeks old passed away back in May of 2016. The organ was actually donated in the fall of 2017. And so if you have any information, you can reach out to Sarah Peebs. That's P-I-E-B-E-S-S-A-R-A-H, Sarah. And let her know. Send her a message if you have any information for that. I hope that she does find the person. You've been listening to the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment. When we come back, I'm going to be talking to Amy Holland, and we're going to go back into the subject of MPS. So stick with me. You're listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
If you are looking to sell or buy a home, I would encourage you to call Kanita. Call Kanita at 256-337-1606 for all of your real estate needs. You can also find her on Facebook at Kanita Hall Realtor, as well as twinsrealtyco.com.
Call Kanita.
Suzanne's Bakery and Eatery has now been serving up fresh baked items to Athens and North Alabama for over 12 years. Located at 1207 East Forest Street behind CVS on Highway 31 in Athens, Suzanne's Bakery is open Tuesday 10 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 5:30, and Thursday and Friday morning from 6:30 until 6 in the evening. You can also place to-go orders for a meal or fresh baked dessert to enjoy with your family, or even have an event catered. Check out Suzanne's menu at suzannesbakery.com or give them a call at 256-232-8210.
Fresh baked.
Since 1930, McCleary Tire in Athens has been your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters. I'm going to let my friend Casey Harbin tell you all about it.
We do undercar stuff, tires of all kinds, commercial, implement, lawn, garden. We do all kind of chassis work, front end alignments, shocks, struts, bearings, oil changes. We do air conditioning work, starters, alternators, tune-ups, engines, transmissions. We do it all.
Located at 611 East Hobbs Street in Athens. Give them a call at 256-232-2630.
Where the rubber meets the road.
Are you a first responder? At Husqvarna, we support the uniformed men and women who serve our country and communities. As a way to honor your service, we created the Military and First Responder Appreciation Program. As a first responder, you qualify for a discount on your purchase of Husqvarna powered equipment. Get 10% off select commercial products at participating dealers. Whether you're starting a business or maintaining your property, you can count on Husqvarna. Find out why we're the brand that's trusted by real professionals. Visit Green's Dependable Hardware at 15220 A, Highway 43, Russellville, Alabama. You can also find them on Facebook at Green's Dependable Hardware. Give them a call at 256-331-0123. Tiffin Motor Homes is a proud sponsor of The Mark White Show. Tiffin Motorhomes has been in operation in Red Bay, Alabama since 1972. The family-owned business offers a wide variety of models to suit your needs, ranging from the 45 Zephyr to the best-selling diesel coach on the market today, the Phaeton, to their latest exciting endeavor, the Wayfarer, built in Winfield, Alabama. Go to TiffinMotorhomes.com to find where your nearest dealership is located. Tiffin Motorhomes are made to move you. See your local dealer today.
Roughing it smoothly.
Losing a loved one is difficult, and many times dealing with the estate of a loved one makes it even more challenging. If you're facing what to do with the home or land of someone you love, give Kenita a call and let her walk you through the process. 256-337-1606. Kenita Hall Realty.
This is Ruth Ann Stallings. I'm listening to the Mark White Show and encourage you to try to make a difference in the lives of people.
There are people in this country who work hard every day. Not for fame or fortune do they strive, but the fruits of their labor are worth more than their pay, and it's time a few of them were recognized.
And we are back. We're continuing our program on MPS awareness, and right now I have with me Amy Holland. She is actually from messaging from Fort Worth, Texas. She said on Facebook, "Good morning. It's a gorgeous day in Fort Worth." Well, I would say it's a gorgeous day in Athens, Alabama today, too. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate you coming on, and of course, we want to focus on MPS, and it's something that has affected your life directly and your family as well. And if you would talk about your experience with MPS and your children, please.
Sure. So, my children were all three born healthy and thriving. They were very close together in age. And when my daughter was 3 years old, her name is Maddie, when she was 3 years old, I was saying her bedtime prayers with her, putting her to bed, and I noticed that one pupil was larger than the other. And so I knew that wasn't good. I took her to the emergency room, and I remember the doctor at the emergency room saying, "This is not going to be a small problem." And he said, "I'm referring you to a pediatric ophthalmologist who can get to the bottom of this, but this is a big deal." And so several weeks later, after seeing multiple specialists, we met with a neurologist who decided to screen Maddie for MPS. She was not having any other symptoms, just that unusual eye symptoms. But he asked us if there was any other thing unusual about my kids, and I said, well, one child is always sick, and I'm not exaggerating. One child is literally always sick. And also, Maddie could not fully raise her arms above her head, but that was the only thing unusual we had noticed. And her screening 8 weeks later came back positive for MPS. And I remember my husband and I were on a conference call with the doctor when he called to tell us that Maddie had tested, her test was positive for MPS. And he said in the next, you know, I was so scared when he said that, but in the next breath he said, I've spoken with your pediatrician, we need to test your other two children as well, which had never even entered our minds
right
when we were waiting for that diagnosis. So in 1 week, all three of our children were diagnosed. So knowing what to test for, it was Spencer and Lainey tested positive later that same week. What we knew about the disease at that time was that my children's lifespan would be very short. They were ages 4, 3, and 1 at the time. And so our life immediately, that was the bleakest picture that we could imagine. Somebody telling us that the family that we loved so much would soon not be with us. So my husband and I made a call to the National MPS Society, I think within a week of our diagnosis. And we learned about a conference that was going to be held just a few weeks later. So we flew to the conference in Florida, and we walked into a room, a big ballroom at a hotel, and we saw every stage of MPS. We saw every form of MPS in that room, and it was, to us, it was very, very overwhelming to see children, and our expectations at that time were that this is what's going to happen to our children. And we could see that some of these older children were very, very ill. And so it was pretty devastating walking into that room. But when we were there, we met people, we met families, mothers and fathers, just like us, who were dealing with MPS. And the support that we got from those families has lasted even to this day. And it's been... My children were diagnosed. Maddie was 3. She's 27 now. We still have very close friendships with those people we met in Florida at that conference. They've supported us. The MPS Society has always been there for us. And I don't know what we would have done without those connections that we made. So
one of the connections that you have made is through Mika McPherson Embry, and of course she's going to be on the show in just a few minutes. You were telling me an interesting story about how you met Mika. If you would share that with the listeners this morning.
Yeah, that was just, it was me. It's one of those stories that is just, it is kind of an incredible story. So my children, a local reporter did a newspaper story on my children, and the day that the story ran in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, I got a call from a young mother who told me that her daughter had just been diagnosed with MPS-1, which is the form that my children have. And so we had that family over for dinner the next night, and we became very close friends pretty quickly. But, you know, the bonds that we form with other families is just incredibly strong. So Sherry, this young lady who called me, her daughter, Jenna, needed to have a bone marrow transplant for MPS-1. And there's just one form that can be treated through bone marrow transplant. It has to happen before the age of 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the day of Jenna's transplant, there was a group of us in a waiting room. And Jenna was behind a glass partition. We could see her, but she was having her bone marrow transplant, where they hang a bag of marrow for the transplant. And there was a young lady who was in the room who was also supporting Sherry. And I learned that her name was Mika. And so Mika was just one of Sherry's friends. They attended church together, and she was just there as a big support to Sherry. And fast forward a few years later, Sherry called me to tell me that Mika's child, Luke, had been diagnosed with MPS, which I think is just, it's just kind of an odd coincidence because MPS is so ultra rare.
Yes.
So anyway, so now the three of us, you know, have a sisterhood.
Absolutely. And those connections are, I know that support group and having people that you can connect with is very, very important. And that's one of the things we talked about last night, Amy, was the fact that there are people out there who have not yet received an MPS diagnosis, but potentially will. And, of course, there are people who are going to experience this, and they need those connections, whether it's through the National MPS Society or just a friend to talk to. I know that that's very important.
Yes, it is. There, you know, MPS, the symptoms are unusual for MPS disorders. But sometimes as a parent, of a child with MPS, you begin to recognize some of the facial characteristics. So so children with MPS do have a distinct facial appearance. They have frequent ear infections, much more so than the typical child. They have frequent infections. They have joint limitations. If they ever have surgery, the anesthesiologist will come out and say that their airway was one of the most difficult they've ever, you know, difficult of any child they've ever worked on.
Mm-hmm.
They have enlarged liver, so they have kind of pot bellies a lot of the time. And then there are other symptoms that parents can learn about by going to mpssociety.org.
I'll tell you, the big thing that's important to me is not only the fact that you've had to deal with this yourself, but that you and your husband both have been willing to reach out to the community, the MPS community, and be torchbearers, if you will, for MPS awareness. And I appreciate the fact that you've been willing to do that. And I'm going to tell you, you're touching lives today, of course, through this phone call. And somebody out there listening needed this morning, and I appreciate the fact that you joined me.
Well, thank you so much, Mark, for all you're doing for us.
Thank you, Amy. And I'll be talking to Mika here in just a minute, but I hope the day continues to be beautiful for you there in Fort Worth, Texas.
It certainly will.
All right. You take care.
All right. Thank you.
And that was Amy Holland, and she was sharing her experience with MPS with her three children who were all diagnosed at 1, 3, and 4 years old. And we talked about Mika McPherson Embry, and Mika will be joining me on the show when we come back from a break. I hope that you'll stick with me as we continue to talk about MPS awareness. And I want to thank Julie Buchanan for, actually she has a different name now. She was Buchanan when I knew her, but it's Julie Buchanan Jamerson. So thank you, Julie, for wearing purple on May 15th. That's why this show is happening. I hope you'll stick with me. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections. Thompson Roofing and Construction. Tiffin Motor Homes is a proud sponsor of The Mark White Show. Tiffin Motor Homes has been in operation in Red Bay, Alabama since 1972. The family-owned business offers a wide variety of models to suit your needs, ranging from the 45 Zephyr to the best-selling diesel coach on the market today, the Phaeton, to their latest exciting endeavor, the Wayfarer, built in Winfield, Alabama. Go to TiffinMotorHomes.com to find where your nearest dealership is located. Tiffin Motor Homes are made to move you. See your local dealer today.
Rub Roofing it smoothly.
Are you tired of all the games, gimmicks, pressure, and huge commission fees from real estate agencies? Twins Realty is too. For great value and excellent service from a local family-owned business, call Kenita Hall with Twins Realty at 256-337-1606. Whether buying or selling, Kenita will personally tailor a solution perfectly suited to your real estate needs. That's 256-337-1606.
Call Kenita.
Every pro on your team wants to work with a Husqvarna, and who can blame them? Husqvarna products are powerful, ergonomic, and packed with innovation so your crew can work quickly and safely in any environment. And now we're making it easier than ever to put a Husqvarna in their hands with our cost-saving fleet program, where commercial customers can save up to 20% on new equipment purchases. If you want more Husqvarnas in their hands and more money in your pocket, get all your new equipment through the Husqvarna fleet program. You'll get professional results and the power to save. Visit Greens Dependable at 15220A Highway 43, Russellville, Alabama, or give them a call at 256-331-023. Find them on Facebook at Greens Dependable Hardware. Paying too much for your water bill is the pits, but you know what they say, when life gives you the pits, dig a well. The solution is to call my friends at Commercial Drilling today. At CDI, customer service and a handshake still mean something. Give them a call at 256-679-8181.
You know the drill.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is the Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
Heroes come in every shape and size, making special sacrifices for others in their lives. No one gives them medals, the world don't know their names, but in someone's eyes, they're heroes just the same.
And we're back. You're listening to The Mark White Show, and I am your host, Mark White. Right now, we have on the phone with us Mika McPherson Embry. Welcome to the show, Mika.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you doing this.
As you know, this entire show is dedicated to MPS awareness, and I've been glad to do it. We started out with the president of the National MPS Society, Terry Klein. We talked to your friend, Amy Holland, from Fort Worth, Texas. And now we get to talk to somebody from our area, Birmingham, Alabama. And, you know, a mutual friend of ours, Julie Buchanan Jamerson, was wearing purple on May the 15th, and that's what brought my awareness to MPS. And if you would, share with us your experience with MPS and your son, Luke.
Will do. May 15th is actually International MPS Awareness Day, and so every year, all of my friends know, I plaster Facebook with messages of wear purple, and they lovingly obliged to do that. There's not a whole lot that people can do really to help us on our journey.
Right.
That's one thing that they are very happy to do, and they always let me know that they're supporting us and that they love us by simply wearing purple on that day. And so I'm glad the message got out and that you were able to see it. And because of that, here we are today talking about it. My son Luke just turned, earlier this month, turned 19. And we had noticed, as Amy had mentioned, upper respiratory infections and ear infections are very common in these children. And he started at about 3-4 months old with chronic ear infections that lasted all the way until 9 months old. And finally, at 9 months old, we put his first set of tubes in his ears. His speech was delayed. We started speech therapy somewhere around 15 to 18 months old. And then at 2, he was diagnosed with hearing loss. And I remember being devastated, thinking that, you know, he's going to have to wear hearing aids and you know, I'm worrying about, is he going to be ridiculed because he's, you know, wearing hearing aids, or the kid's going to make fun of him?
Right.
Is he going to be able to catch up with speech? And looking back, I realize now that that was a very, you know, minor thing to have to worry about in the overall picture of things, because 2 years later, at the age of 4, he was diagnosed with Sanfilippo syndrome, which is a form of MPS, MPS type 3. Sanfilippo syndrome has 4 subtypes, A, B, C, and D. A is the most severe, and A is the type that Luke has. And at diagnosis, we were told life expectancy for him was 10 to 14 years. But actually, as I said, we just celebrated his 19th birthday earlier this month. Through the years, we have seen a neurologist/geneticist who has helped us manage symptoms, because there is no no real treatment and no cure for this disorder.
Right.
We manage symptoms as they arise. We've had many, many, many sleepless nights. It's not uncommon for Sanfilippo kids to not sleep at night, sometimes for 2 or 3 days at a time. And if they do sleep, it's like cat naps. Additionally, they start out, and as the other ladies have mentioned, kids typically reach milestones normally. At birth, you realize there's nothing wrong. And gradually progress, things progress as these this waste product that should be flushed out of the system starts accumulating on the organs. And with Sanfilippo syndrome, it tends to be the brain that's impacted. And because of that, the neurological processes in the body start slowing down. And so it's not that the child becomes unable to walk, but the brain cannot communicate to the limbs what they need to do in order to walk, and cannot communicate with, you know, the body telling it, well, we need to chew this food before we swallow it. And so we've dealt with, over the last 14, 15 years now, we've dealt with issues with falling to the point that Luke's now completely immobile. He cannot move on his own. He wore braces for a while, and that did help some, you know, initially, but it just got to the point that he could not support his own body weight. We have had seizures and are taking a number of medications to help, you know, keep seizures at bay. He used to eat food normally and then got to a point that we had to go to very, very soft food, then pureed food. And now when he was 10, actually, we had a G-tube placed because he cannot consume food. He gets choked on it. So everything, medicines, nutrition, all of that is given to him via G-tube and has been since he was, the G-tube was placed at 10. We started primarily for hydration and then gradually went to all of his nutrition and sustenance through it within the next year and a half or so. So we just have to watch very closely for, you know, any kind of infection or anything like that, because anything for these kids can be detrimental.
You know, and I talked to Amy Holland just a little bit earlier, of course, a friend of yours, and y'all, she told the interesting story about your meeting. If you would, tell us about how National MPS Society has helped your family, the organization itself. Well, as you know, we talked to Terry earlier in the program, but I want people to understand what this organization is capable of if a family needs resources and help.
Well, in terms of resources, they have a really great program for families of MPS in that they will provide grants to families to help, you know, if the home needs to be made more accessible for wheelchairs, showering, those kinds of things. They provide grants for that. They provide grants for some of their conferences. I know our first conference that we attended was a Disney conference, and they provided a grant to our family to cover the cost of our transportation and our hotel for that conference. Additionally, my daughter, who's 2 years older than Luke, is in nursing school at Auburn right now, and they have provided her scholarships to go toward her education. So there's a number of things that they do for families, in addition to just being a wealth of information for families, doctors, nurses that are helping to take care of our kids. They have a great resource library that folks can go to look up information on the different types of MPS and learn more about it. They also have a networking opportunity to find out other families in the area and throughout the United States that have kids with the same disorder so that you can connect to those people. And that's been a huge help, as much as anything, is being able to connect to somebody that truly knows and understands. Because a lot of times with these disorders, they are so rare that even the doctors are not familiar with what it is that we're dealing with. And so there's been times we've had to go to doctors, and I've heard the same story from other families, that you go to doctors and you're the one that's actually educating the doctor and their staff on the disease that your child has. And you actually learn a lot talking to other families and asking questions. And so the Facebook groups that some of the families have started have been a huge help, because a lot of times parents, when they don't know the answers, will just go on there. And so just the ability to be able to connect with other families has been a huge help too.
Absolutely. And speaking of families, I think we could do a whole segment on the love of a sister. I have a lot of mutual friends between me and your daughter, and I know that could be a whole other segment. We may do that again, but I appreciate you coming on the show this morning, Mika. Thank you for sharing your story.
Sure.
I appreciate that. And before we go, I'd like to tell Barbara and Gary Hastings hello from Tony, Alabama, Pam Kirkpatrick from Bryan, Alabama, Mary Boyles from Houston, Alabama, Kathy McDonald from Ball Ground, Georgia, and Glenda Wright from Red Bay, Alabama. Thank you for tuning into the show. I appreciate you. Join me next week as we talk about Lyme disease. You've been listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
There's nothing like fresh water from a well.
You are so right, Mr. Jerry Sutton, and Commercial Drilling can take care of that well for you. Give them a call at 256-679-8181 or check them out on the web at commercialdrilling.com. Roger D's Plumbing has been a reputable and trusted business since 2009. They specialize in residential and commercial construction. They service Athens, Huntsville, Decatur, Florence, and the surrounding areas. They value their customers and work diligently to make sure your job is carried out in a professional, pleasing, and timely manner. Roger D's Plumbing has been a proud member of the Better Business Bureau of North Alabama since 2010. Give Roger a call at 256-771-3139.
They're plumb good.
Tiffin Motor Homes is a proud sponsor of The Mark White Show. Tiffin Motor Homes has been in operation in Red Bay, Alabama since 1972. The family-owned business offers a wide variety of models to suit your needs, ranging from the 45 Zephyr to the best-selling diesel coach on the market today, the Phaeton, to their latest exciting endeavor, the Wayfarer, built in Winfield, Alabama. Go to TiffinMotorHomes.com to find where your nearest dealership is located. Tiffin Motor Homes are made to move you. See your local dealer today.
Wrapping it smoothly.
Suzanne's Bakery and Eatery has now been serving up fresh baked items to Athens and North Alabama for over 12 years. Located at 1207 East Forest Street behind CVS on Highway 31 in Athens, Suzanne's Bakery is open Tuesday 10 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 5:30, and Thursday and Friday morning from 6:30 until 6 in the evening. You can also place to-go orders for a meal or fresh baked dessert to enjoy with your family, or even have an event catered. Check out Suzanne's menu at suzannesbakery.com or give them a call at 256-232-8210.
Fresh baked.
Are you a first responder? At Husqvarna, we support the uniformed men and women who serve our country and communities. As a way to honor your service, we created the Military and First Responder Appreciation Program. As a first responder, you qualify for a discount on your purchase of Husqvarna powered equipment. Get 10% off select commercial products at participating dealers. Whether you're starting a business or maintaining your property, you can count on Husqvarna. Find out why we're the brand that's trusted by real professionals. Visit Green's Dependable Hardware at 15220 A, Highway 43, Russellville, Alabama. You can also find them on Facebook at Green's Dependable Hardware. Give them a call at 256-331-0123. Since 1930, McCleary Tire in Athens has been your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters. I'm going to let my friend Casey Harbin tell you all about it.
This time of year, you need to get, you know, make sure your air conditioner's working good, make sure it's charged up good. This time of year, too, people start thinking about baseball season, going on vacation and stuff, do a lot of traveling. And that's when you want to make sure your tires are good, your brakes are good, things like that. And it's no charge to ever check anything like that. Run it by any time. We can take a look at them or whatever. It's just a good time to get everything checked out.
Located at 611 East Hobbs Street in Athens. Give them a call at 256-232-2630.
Where the rubber meets the road.
Are you tired of all the games, gimmicks, pressure, and huge commission fees from real estate agencies? Twins Realty is too. For great value and excellent service from a local family-owned business, call Kenita Hall with Twins Realty at 256-337-1606. Whether buying or selling, Kenita will personally tailor a solution perfectly suited to your real estate needs. That's 256-337-1606.
Call Kenita.
If you are a Limestone County water customer, you can either continue to get a well of a water bill or you can get a well. Give my friends at Commercial Drilling a call. They want to talk to you, Limestone County. 256-679-8181 or find them on the web at commercialdrilling.com.
All it takes is a point of light, a ray of hope in the darkest night. If you see what's wrong and you try to make it right, you will be a point of light. If you see